Well, the Cardinals have lost 22 of 33. When they lose on the road, they haven't scored more than two runs in the last 10 losses on the road. They're 41 and 44. They're 18 and 26 on the road. Their run differential is minus 41. They're 10 games back, 8.5 back in the wild card. And let's see what happens today when they face the big boy, Kevin Gausman, because you know what? That's baseball, and you never know what's going to happen. All right, we do have a little bit of sound with Larry Doby, and we did talk about him, and I wanted to bring that to you. It's a very special time for him, July 5th, 1947, breaking the color barrier in the American League, and he talks a little bit, to begin with, about Jackie Robinson.
I mean, Mr. Robinson got involved in baseball in 1945 when I was in the service in a little island called Ulithi in the South Pacific. And there were two major league ball players on that island with me, a fellow by the name of Bicky Vernon and another fellow by the name of Billy Goodman. And they knew I played in the Negro League. So I would, you know, would go out and we would pitch batting practice against each other. And Vernon told me that he thought I had a good opportunity to be involved in major league baseball. So the 47 was a sort of surprise and a great thing for me, thank God, that I had the ability to be involved in baseball. But I didn't know anybody was scouting me at the time. But then I think the early part of 47, there was a fellow by the name of Lou Jones who worked for Bill Veeck, public relations man for Bill Veeck. He came to the house and he said that they were scouting me and probably come back to see me again in June. And he did come back in June and took me to a ball game. Cleveland was playing the Yankees. And then he went back to Cleveland, and I got a telephone call that he was coming back. And he said he'd be back probably around the early part of July. And we had a doubleheader in Newark. And the first game I played, and the second game I caught a train going to Chicago where the team was. And the next morning I met with Mr. Veeck, signed a contract, and became the first player in the American League.
It's a great moment, and you should be remembered forever for doing it. It was a great time for you. The Cleveland teammates, some were okay about it, some weren't.
Well, I guess that was a natural thing. When you talk about segregation, and some are going to accept, some are not going to accept. But the important thing is that you have to bypass that and concentrate on playing the game of baseball, because if you didn't play the game of baseball well, then you wouldn't be there. So you kind of put that on the back burner, and you knew, because it's not like you're going to something strange. You knew that there was segregation. You knew you wouldn't be accepted. And I think one of the great moments in my life was when Bill Veeck said, "You and I in this together." That certainly made it a little bit more comfortable.
When you first broke in and you're an outfielder, they didn't put you in the outfield. I think first base or second base was your first position in the big leagues.
My first game was, they played a doubleheader in Chicago. The first game I pinch hit and struck out, and the second game I played first base for 9 innings. And that's the only game I played the whole year. The rest of the time I was doing a lot of pinch hitting, which I wasn't accustomed to. I'd never done it before, you know, being high school and semi-pro and Newark, you know, you're getting four times to get a chance to get a base hit. The one time was a little bit more difficult.
Satchel Paige comes in 1948, and of course he was older at that point, but he came in 6-1 for the Cleveland Indians, and you guys win in a playoff with the Red Sox, and but for Satchel, it wouldn't have happened. So what was Satchel like when he got in, and what did you think?
Satchel was no question a great pitcher because, you know, we played against him in Negro Leagues in 1946 when we won the Negro League pennant in Newark Eagles against the Kansas City Monarchs. We beat him two games, and we knew, you know, he was a great pitcher. And, of course, when he came to us in September of 48, he won six ball games, like you say, and lost one. There's no question in my mind that, like I said before, if this had been 37, you'd have seen a real Satchel Paige. And actually, in 47, he still was, you know, did a great job and was a great pitcher. And he and I were roommates, and, you know, he was kind of a funny guy. You know, he had a lot of things that he did that he thought was funny. Some of them I thought was funny, and some of them I didn't think was that funny.
Well, I'm so glad we have that sound with Larry Doby. As I said to Raph, that's gold. And I guess if you room with Satchel Paige, it was the old rooming with a suitcase probably, because he was out there. Well, great to have Larry Doby on, a very special day. Kerry Crowley joins Bill and I. Kerry, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Marty. Caught the flight from Phoenix this morning, so we're all set to go back in the Bay Area and back for the final homestand before the All-Star break.
So we have a little bit of Giants news this morning. Mark Sanchez back from Santa Cruz and Maria Guardado have put something out on Twitter.
Yeah, Sammy Long is headed to the 10-day injured list with a lower back sprain, and so, or lower back strain, I should say. And so the Giants have recalled Chadwick Tromp from AAA, so that gives them a little extra catching insurance, assuming that Buster Posey probably isn't going to be ready to go today, although Gabe Kapler was all smiles post-game last night after the Giants won. He said that Posey's injury was not a serious concern. It's possible that he could be available off the bench today. My guess, they bring up Tromp, and then they'll probably bring up a pitcher later on this week when they sort out this rotation.
Bill, what do you think about Long? And, you know, we talked about his inconsistency. What do you think about that?
Well, when I hear lower back, there's no doubt about it. When you look at how the pitches have been up, and that's what's really hurt him his last couple starts. And anytime you have a lower back injury, I had stiffness. You can't get that last hand across your knee as a follow-through, and that could be one of the reasons why he isn't flexible enough, and that could have endangers how his pitches carry. And we've talked about it. The starts that he's had, the problem he's got is he's got the ball up, and they've been taking advantage of it, the opposing teams.
Yeah, you mentioned it, Bill, the other night when Sammy Long was on the mound. We saw that he was able to navigate those first two innings against the Diamondbacks with relative ease, but as soon as he began to get the slightest bit uncomfortable, as soon as the pitch count began to rise, he elevated. He wasn't able to get that fastball down in the zone. And Marty, Sammy Long is not the type of pitcher that the Giants have been instructed to throw that fastball at the top rail of the strike zone, like you'll see from Kevin Gausman today when he takes the mound. He's at his best when he's down because that fastball can tunnel with the curveball, which is such a dynamic pitch for Sammy Long. And I noticed at the end of his last outing, he just didn't have the same feel for the curveball. So 10 days, hopefully the Giants can get him reset, ready to go after the All-Star break. It's not the worst thing in the world for this club with an off day and, you know, having Anthony DeSclafani throw 8 2/3 innings to save the bullpen, because maybe, Marty, that allows them to use a bullpen game later on this week against either the Cardinals or the Nationals whenever they choose to do so.
Well, what do you think about the Cardinals? We've talked a lot about them this morning, and we'll have Katie Wu on with me a little bit later on to talk about it from The Athletic. But, boy, this team has struggled, and they're almost in the DEAD category.
Yeah, they're not great. The offense is really bad, and that shocks me because when you've got an offense with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt in the middle of the order, you expect production, and the Cardinals just haven't had that this season. Of course, I say that, and Arenado and Goldschmidt are coming to Oracle Park, where they've had all kinds of success through the years. But Tim Lincecum isn't out there on that mound, so Paul Goldschmidt's going to have a tougher time this series this week, Marty. But, yeah, I do wonder about the long-term viability of this Cardinals roster, because this could be a team that starts to deal at the trade deadline. That Jack Flaherty injury, obviously debilitating for that club, because Flaherty's an ace when he's at his best. And so it'll be interesting to see, but I think it's imperative that the San Francisco Giants take 2 of 3. They've got home field advantage, and I think that they saw the offense come to life a little bit at the end of this Arizona series, Marty.
Well, you know, you hope so, but you look at the line. It's really incredible to me. I mean, they have 2.43 pinch hitters per game. It's the best in baseball, the most in baseball. He's platooning like Casey Stengel without a computer. He's got a computer to tell him what to do. But come on, the lineup, Slater, Lamont Wade, you got no Duggar. You got Estrada, Flores, Ruff, Solano, Crawford, Davis, no Yaz, Casale. I mean, you know, you look at the names and you just say, how do they do it?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. And I think that that's been the story all season, Marty. And this is something that Bill and I touched on Extra Innings the other night, is the Giants may not have the star power of the Dodgers. They may not have made the splashy offseason moves that the San Diego Padres have made. And their 1, 3, 4, 5 best players on the roster may not be as good as some of the other teams in the National League. But you go through 20 to 35 on their 40-man roster, and it's a very deep group with guys who are capable of contributing at the major league level. Lamont Wade crushes right-handed pitchers. Austin Slater, Darren Ruff, their team righty, they wait for a left-hander to come in. And that's exactly what they saw last night when they made those contributions, Bill. So I think that it's important that the Giants have gotten the production that they have out of Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, Evan Longoria prior to his injury this season. But the tale of this season, to me, is about the depth and the contributions the Giants have received from previously unlikely contributors.
Yeah, you know what, Kerry and Marty, these next six games, they just need to rattle off some wins and get into that all-star break and get some of these guys back and get them healthy again. One of the things I noticed today when I saw the lineup was Estrada's playing left field. So I texted Johnny Doskow, the voice of the Rivercats, and he said he's played a handful of games in right field and left field. And then I looked even more on the Yankees, and he did play some outfield. So this is a little unusual move. I would think Marty and Kerry, and I would like to hear your thoughts on it.
Well, they love it. They love it. Come on. They love this stuff. They get guys and immediately, you play six positions. This is what Farhan loves. He loves having – look at Slater as an infielder last year. So, yeah, they love doing this. And let's see what he can do. The second half is going to be fascinating for me, and especially August and September. They're playing teams that they haven't seen, and you got the Brewers. We talked about 10 with San Diego in September. You got more with the Dodgers coming in. You go to Colorado a bunch of times, and I think they're in. I don't think anyone, as Paul White said, I don't see any of these other teams, challenging in the wild card if the Giants ended up in a wild card. But boy, this is going to be something else the second half. This is not a gimme with this lineup, because pitchers are going to figure out how to pitch these guys, because you're not talking about Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell and guys with long track records. Now, that's how I see it.
Well, Marty, I have this pocket of the schedule that I've been looking at for the last few weeks, and it's August 16th when the New York Mets come to town, best team in the National League East, through September 5th. In that stretch, the Giants play the Mets at home, then they play on the road against Oakland, on the road against the Mets, on the road in Atlanta, and then they've got the Brewers at home and the Dodgers at home. Those 3 weeks, to me, will define what this club looks like heading into late September and potentially October. Can they be the team at the top of the division and challenge the Dodgers for the National League West crown, or will they be a wild card team potentially trying to hang on for a home game at Oracle Park or getting Kevin Gausman on the road at Petco Park? Because I really do think that it's going to be the Giants, the Padres, and the Dodgers coming out of the National League, three teams out of the National League West. And I just believe, that 16th of August is when they really have to flip a switch, Bill.
I tell you, 162-game schedule, it's a whole different outlook than the 60-game schedule. And we're talking that second half right off the bat, All-Star game, St. Louis and the Dodgers. Marty and I both talked about this earlier today. It's going to be a grind, and this is why, you start looking at what Gabe Kapler's doing with Posey and giving days off. That's what you need. You got to have these guys healthy, especially the nucleus of the team, Marty.
You need Belton Longoria back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Posey, boy, we keep – just dancing around these injuries with him. I hope nothing happens with him. Cueto's another one, has not looked great. So they need contributions, Longoria and Belt, to come back. Who knows when Belt will be back. I think Longoria, we're going to see him fairly soon. But this is going to be interesting to see what happens. And, Kerry, you talk about that stretch in August. I talk about the stretch starting September 13th to the end. The games they've got in there with the Padres and everybody else. So we'll see. Now, here's a big question for Kerry, because we haven't chatted with him enough about this. Do you see the Giants doing anything at the trade deadline, or is this the team and they love the way they play ball and the way they figure all this thing out, or would they take a chance and bringing in someone they don't know for a position that they think they need help in?
Marty, I just don't see how they can go through the rest of the season without adding another starting pitcher. I really believe that, look, you can fall in love with this roster, as Farhan and Scott and Gabe have. You can believe that you've got all the pieces to challenge the Dodgers and the Padres, but you can't waste the magical first half that this team has had. 23 games over 500, and you can allow for a little bit of a slump in the second half and still make the postseason, but if you want to be a force in the postseason, you want to have an opportunity to advance past the NLDS, you need someone who can either pitch in front of Anthony DeSclafani or behind Anthony DeSclafani. You don't need a Max Scherzer to go in front of Kevin Gausman, but you do need a 2 or a 3 to make it through the series, Bill. I'm just convinced that, look, Logan Webb, even if he comes back, I think he could be a really nice bullpen arm in October. Sammy Long, he could be a 1-2-inning guy. Johnny Cueto, too up in the air for me right now to rely on as that number 3. And so I believe that if the Giants are going to make a move, it's got to be in the rotation. That has to be the top priority, Bill.
Yeah, and also, Kerry, I think when you start looking at left-hand starters, I think they have to get another right-hand power hitter or a complement of a right-hand hitter that could play outfield, first base, or anything off the bench as a pinch hitter. I think that's one negative they have, especially when you look at Slater and Ruff. Those are your really only two potential guys that you could flip-flop. So I think they got to look at that predicament, too, to see if that could be a possible pinch hitter there. But other than that, of course, everybody wants a bullpen arm. That's a big question mark. Every team does. But I'm right there. I think the two biggest points, starting pitching, Marty, and a right-handed bat.
Well, if you say they're going to get in, how many starting pitchers do you need in the playoffs? I mean, you got Gausman, you got DeSclafani, you got Wood, and you've got Cueto. I mean, are they not good enough? I don't know. We got to run. Kerry, who do you have?
That's a great segue, Marty.
Somebody, we could talk about this all day. Unfortunately, we didn't have you enough yesterday. But Dylan Bundy, somebody sent me a text about Dylan Bundy. Dylan Bundy can't get anybody out.
Yeah, he's so, terrible. No, he's not a pinch hitter. He's a pinch hitter.
He's a pinch hitter. Very good, Kerry. I like that. All right, what do you have? What do you have coming up?
Melissa Lockhart of The Athletic. She'll give a great rundown of the Giants farm system. She'll preview the draft. Really looking forward to my conversation with her. She's as thorough and as knowledgeable as it gets when it comes to the Giants minor leagues. And so this is going to be important to keep track of in the second half, Marty.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm glad we have her on. And we'll have Mark A. Simon Says and Katie Wu and much more coming up. So Melissa Lockhart with Kerry next right here on the Sports Leader.